This sermon is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor Tony Cahoot.
If you have your Bibles already in hand, turn with me today at Psalms 22. Whenever I teach or whenever I preach, I do my best to try and teach you as much of the Word of God that I know. And I hope that when it comes forth from the pulpit, that you're just not listening with shallow ears, but that you are taking it into the depth of your soul. Because I honestly want you to learn. And as Brother David said so well in his Sunday school lesson, I heard a portion of that today. Sometimes we listen, but we don't do what the Word says. And that's half of the problem, half of the battle in our lives. Because it clearly teaches us that we're not just to be hearers of the Word, but we have to be doers of the Word. That's imperative. And so this is going to be a message today that if people tell me all the time at the door and different places and during the week and text and email and different things, Pastor, that's one of the greatest messages you ever preached, or that's one of your top 10, or different things like that. And I appreciate that. But if I could preach one message, just one message, outside of the gospel of grace to you in 1 year, I think it would be this sermon today. Because there is so much going on in our lives, we can't put an explanation to it. Things just disrupt us, creates havoc in our lives. And when havoc comes into our life, it will wreck you, first of all, emotionally, then physically, and ultimately spiritually. And when we get to that place where we are hurting in all three areas, we're pretty messed up. So I'm going to speak to you today for the next few moments, and I'm going to try to teach you as much about this subject from the Word of God that I know. And this is the thought of today. When you do not understand what's going on, I pray that you would not just be a hearer of the Word, but a doer. Apply this morning. I'm going to read for you in Psalms chapter 22, verse 1 through 2. Psalms chapter 22, beginning in verse number 1. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. When you don't understand what's going on, there will always be times in our lives when we do not understand what God is doing. And there will also be times in our life when we do not understand what God is allowing. So please listen carefully, and don't let anybody fool you. There will be times in your life when you feel you cannot feel His presence. And you will feel that you don't know why, but you feel that way. There will be times when you begin to question, where is God leading you? And because when you question where is God leading you, you recognize that the place where you're at, God, where are you leading? Because the place where I'm at doesn't seem to be a place where you, of all people, would lead me. And those circumstances will lead you to a place where you begin to question way down deep in your heart. You'll begin to say something like this: oh God, did I miss something you said? Did I take a wrong turn somewhere? And you will ask, God, what's happening to me? Why are there so many disappointing things happening in my life all at once? Sometimes we get into circumstances where you have a period of time where it seems like life is good. And a lot of time goes by, and then you run into a problem and you deal with it and you address it and you get through it and you go through another period of season in your life where life is good. But then there are times in your life when you are totally disrupted by one thing after another. And it seems like your life is falling apart like dominoes. And you're stepping back from all of that and you're saying, oh God, what's happening to me? Why is this going on? Why are there so many disappointing things happening to me all at one time? Why is the closeness that I've felt with you, so many wonderful times in my life, why does that closeness that I have felt with you so much in the past, why does it seem to be so far away right now? And believe me, those questions will come. And maybe some here this morning are asking those very same questions. I pray that the message will be a blessing to you, will be a help to you today. There's a lot of people in this auditorium that understands that Psalms 22 is the psalm that Jesus quoted when he was on the cross. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But if you take time to read the entire chapter, you will find out that this is not a chapter of defeat, but rather it's a chapter of victory. When you read it in its entirety, I want us this morning to look at this passage of Scripture and the life and perspective of King David. Because, by the way, he was the instrument that God used. He was the human instrument that God used to pen this particular psalm. And when you see this, when you read it, you can quickly become aware of the fact that David must have been experiencing some of the things related to the questions that I just asked, that David must have been experiencing those kind of things in his own personal life. Because there are so many painful things falling like dominoes in his life. Without question now, here's the thing. We all know that the hand of God was upon him. David started out with an enormous amount of anointing on his life, even when he was a youth. And now, at this particular point in his life, he's desperate. He has a desperate feeling of being forsaken by God. That's a bad place to be. But I'm confident this morning that there have been places in your life where you have actually felt what David felt, that you have been forsaken by God, if you're going to be honest about it. There have been times in all of our lives when we have felt this. Lord, I honestly stand before you today and say with a clean, pure heart that everything I know to be right, everything I know to be your will, everything that I know in the Word that you want me to do, Lord, to the best of my human ability, I have tried to walk in all of those precepts. I know I'm not perfect, God, and I know I stumble and fall, but everything that I know to be right, I'm doing it to the best of my human ability. And Lord, it seems that the more right I try to do, the more wrong things go. And I don't understand this, God. I want you to understand that for some reason, King David in his life is feeling like the Lord has abandoned him. And he's actually feeling this, is actually feeling as you read these first two verses of Psalm 22 that God's not listening to him, God's not hearing his prayers, and God's not answering his prayers. And I'm confident there have been times in your life where we have all felt this, in times of desperation when we have prayed and nothing seems to be moving, nothing seems to be changing, nothing seems to be happening. Maybe we have all thought at times in our life, God's not listening to me, he's not hearing my prayer, and certainly he's not answering my prayers. I want you to look at Psalms 22, verse 1 through 2 again. Look at it carefully with me. David cries from a broken heart, my God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, that means my agony, my crying, my petition to you. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, notice this, am I not silent? He's saying, God, I am crying to you day and night. But it appears to me that you have forsaken me. It appears that I have been abandoned for whatever reason, God, I don't know. I'm praying, I'm crying in the day. I'm praying and crying in the night. And God, I can't figure this out. If you haven't been there, you will be at some point in your life. When that happens, let me remind you something. Look what God said to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 55. Verses number 8 through 11, this is paramount for every child of God. When you feel forsaken and abandoned, you don't know what's going on, let me remind you to refresh yourself with this passage of Scripture. God said to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So in other words, listen carefully. God is saying this to the prophet Isaiah. He was saying this, Isaiah, I do things my way. And he's saying this, and you may not understand why I do things a certain way. And I want you to think about that. But God said, even though you don't understand, Isaiah, my thoughts and my ways, Isaiah, you don't understand what's going on, God says, but I do. That's significant. God knows, not only in the life of David, but God knows this, that every single one of us will find ourselves in some place of life when we don't understand God. We don't know what he's doing. We don't have a clue. And it very well may be that we ask in these particular times in our life, what's happening? Why is this happening? And here's the thing. When you ask God, God, why is this happening in my life? Why are there so many things just going completely wrong? I'm trying my best to do everything right. I'm trying to live a godly life. I'm reading your word. I'm trying to be a witness, a light in a dark place. And God, it just seems like everything around me is falling apart. Listen, when you pray, God, what's happening? God, tell me what's going on. It very well may be that God will not tell you. On the other hand, God very well may give you the answer. But regardless, when these things happen, listen carefully now, the whole situation Whether he tells you why or whether he doesn't tell you why, the whole thing boils down to one word. And that's trust. What does trust really involve? Think with me now. Listen carefully. It's here that we have to trust that God, even though we don't, but it's here in these times, these places of life, that we have to trust that God knows what he's doing. And that even though we don't, we have to trust that God knows what's going on, and we have to trust that he knows why it's going on. That's important. This is critical. We have to remember, listen carefully, the day that we gave our hearts and lives to Christ, the day that we received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, the day that Christ came in. Do you remember the scripture? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, if he hear my voice, if he open the door, he said, I will come into him, sup with him, and he with me. You remember that? Revelation 3:20. Now, here is the thing. The day that we ask Christ as a repentant sinner to come into our hearts, to be our personal Savior, it was that moment, instantly now, that Jesus Christ came in, and we were sealed immediately that moment by the hand of God Almighty. Jesus spoke these words in John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So listen, when we gave our heart to Christ, immediately Jesus came in, and immediately we as his children were immediately sealed by the hand of the Father. That's significant. You're saying, I don't understand what's going on, preacher. Things in my life are turning upside down. It's chaotic. There's nothing in my life but commotion and all kinds of things. But listen carefully. When we gave our heart to Christ, he came in. He came in immediately. And immediately when he came in, we were sealed by the hand of the Father for eternity. Now, that's what Jesus says. And because of this, listen carefully. We have to remember that each and every single day of our life as born-again believers, we are not living by chance. We are not living by luck. We are living by and we are carried by his grace and his mercy until the day that we are deposited at the throne of God in eternity. We have to remember that. We also have to remember this, that God knows, even we think sometimes he struggles, but listen, God knows even when we don't know. God knows exactly what we need in our life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8, the Bible says, "But not ye, or be ye not therefore alike unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." So David is trying to figure out now what in the world is going on in his life. He knows, this is what he knows, that up until this particular point in his life, he knows that he has been sustained and preserved by the promises of God. That's what he knows. Look what he says in Psalms 22, verse 9 through 11. He said, "But thou art he." God, it was you. "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." David was going through a season in his life where there was no natural reason or answer why these things were happening to him. And in his despair, when David was going through all of this turmoil, I'm sure he began to remember. He remembered the day when Samuel came to his house and began to pour the vial of oil upon his head. He remembered the words of Samuel as Samuel prophesied what God was going to do with his life, what God was currently doing and what God would do in the future. He remembered the words of Samuel, the prophet Samuel, how that God had chosen him to lead the nation of Israel and how that God was going to use him to be a forerunner of something that would become even greater than he. And then he remembered that going out from that place of blessing, going out from that place of anointing, he faced a giant named Goliath. And through the supernatural ability of God, given on that little 15-year-old shepherd boy, he slew the giant. David, in his despair, remembered without question joining the armies of Saul and going in and out of one battle after another with God's favor and victory, and knowing that it was really only God who could have brought those insurmountable victories. And now, after all of that, after the anointing, after the blessing that had been pronounced on his life, after the great victory of the giant, after winning multiple battles, one after another, now David finds himself in a position where he's being pursued by a madman. He is being pursued by a king who has lost the power of God on his life. A king now who has become envious and jealous of him. A king now who is trying to kill him. And so David is asking God, Lord, why is all this necessary? Stay with me here. Don't lose this. This will help you. David is saying this, God, why is all this stuff necessary? I mean, you promised me. You gave me an anointing. You said I was going to be used in a mighty way. You said that my throne would be your throne. And you gave me all of this anointing. But now, God, all of this stuff is happening in my life, and I don't understand why. It's turned upside down. Now, I know what you said, and I know what you promised. But why is all of this stuff between the promise and the fulfillment, why is all of that necessary? David is saying this, why can't we just get to the place? And from the place where the promise was made, why can't we just get to the place where the promise is fulfilled? Why do I have to go through all of this stuff? You made the promise. You said you would fulfill it. Why can't you just get me from here to there? Why is all of this stuff necessary, God? Why do I have to go through that? Why all of the in-between? Why all of the nightmares? Why all of the problems? And he may even ask God this, God, will I ever understand this? Will I ever understand the things going on from the promise to the fulfillment? Will I ever understand all of the whys about this stuff? Now, another strong point that I want to share with you today concerns a prophet by the name of Elijah. And I want you to think just for a moment. I want you to see how God so miraculously prepared him for the hard times in his life, just as he prepared David. And from his experience, we can apply this to our own lives as well. Quickly, Elijah was a prophet who had prayed for the spiritual healing and restoration of the people of Israel, a nation that he had deeply so loved. But I want us to see one particular sequence in his life, how God can prepare us for dealing with the questions in our life, all of this stuff, just like he had prepared David and Elijah. Elijah quickly now began to pray. God's people were rebellious. They were wicked, and God was going to send judgment. Elijah began to pray. So how does God respond to Elijah's prayer? Now we know that God is omnipotent. What does the word omnipotent mean? All powerful. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. And we know that God, Yahweh, Jehovah, is all powerful. And he could have, because he's all powerful. In connection to Elijah's prayer, he could have come down from heaven instantaneously. He could have just spoken the word. He could have just blinked his eye. But God had a different plan. And we know that God can do anything he wants to do, anytime he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. But what we have to keep remembering is this, as children of God, we have to keep going back to this, that God's ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. So what does God do? In this prayer that Elijah was praying, God said, okay, here's what's going to happen, Elijah. I'm going to give these people 3.5 years of drought. And I'm going to give them 3.5 years of famine. Elijah says, wow. Now, God did this. The reason for it is because that he wanted to get his people to rethink their ways and think about what they were doing. But it seemed to get more complicated because here's what God does. And I want you to see this in 1 Kings chapter 17. They'll get it on the screen for you quickly. In 3 and 4, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. Here's what God says. He says, I'm sending a famine, Elijah, and I'm sending a drought. It's going to last for 3.5 years. But I tell you what I want you to do. Remember, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And sometimes what we think God ought to be doing, that's the furthest thing from what he will do. So in the drought and in the famine, God says, Elijah, I want you to get yourself to the banks of the river Cherith. He said, now while the famine's going on and while the drought's going on, he said, I got something special for you, son. 1 Kings 17, verse 3 and 4, God said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Now, Elijah could have said, what? You want me to do what, God? These people, we're going through a famine and drought, and you're going to send me to the brook. Okay. So what's the plan, God? Well, I'm going to give you water to drink. These people in a drought, they're in a famine, but I'm going to give you water to drink. And I got something special for you. He said, all you got to do is sit by the brook. And I've put my ravens on task. You know, God puts animals on task from time to time. Didn't he make a donkey speak to Balaam? Didn't he make a rooster crow 3 times? He said, I'm going to put my ravens on task. And he said, Elijah, all you got to do, all you got to do, I want you to go down to the river. All you got to do is sit there, and that water's going to flow right by. Just get down there and lap it up. He said, and then you don't have to go hunting. You don't have to do, all you got to do is sit by the river. He said, I'm going to put my ravens on task, and they're going to drop meat in your lap. And Elijah says, for 3.5 years, you want me to lap out of that river? And you're going to expect those birds to feed me for 3.5 years? I'm sure he said, God, I know who you are. There's no question about that. I know the power that you have. But let me ask you, God, why the delay? Why are you going to spend 3.5 years doing this stuff? And furthermore, why are you asking me to go out into the wilderness to ride out this 3.5 years? I mean, isn't there a more comfortable place, God, that I could spend my time? And why do I have to sit by this brook and trust that birds are going to come and drop food in my lap? Now, this will help us to understand a little bit about what God is doing at this point. This all leads to somewhere to help you. Keep in mind, the Bible that you hold in your hand this morning, look, we know this story. We know what happens. Elijah, he did not have the privilege of looking back on what was happening in his life. All he had was an unknown future. You and I today, we sit here with this Bible and we preach the message, and I ask you to turn to this passage of Scripture, 1 Kings chapter 17, and we look back on the story, and we see in the story, we know the full story, we see Elijah's concern, we see his dilemma, we know what God did, we know the full story. But here's the thing I want you to understand, keep this in mind, that God knows the full story in our lives as well. You say, what's significant about that? God knows what all of us are going to face tomorrow. Just like he knew what Elijah was going to face at the brook Cherith, he knew, listen, God knows what's going to happen in our life. We look back on Elijah's life and we know the full story. But listen, in our life, there's nothing to look back on as far as that goes. We have nothing but an unknown future. But I assure you, God knows the fullest of the story. God was teaching Elijah this. He was saying, Elijah, if you're going to represent me to these people, then you're going to have to be a partaker of their sufferings as well. Now, I really believe that's one of the reasons why me, myself, the pastor, that's one of the reasons I believe that I have had my rough shares in the ministry as well. Because I have to know what it's like to suffer, to be a partaker of your sufferings. I can remember when I had a back surgery in 2003. And I was flat on my back for 21 days. And then I could hardly move at that point. It was a process. The pain in my body, it was almost as bad as before the ruptured disc. I can remember the men of the church built me a pulpit where I could sit down and I could preach. Every time I moved and with that back brace on. But let me tell you, other than all of that stuff, from the time my feet hit the floor in the morning, at that particular season of my life, and my body riddled with pain, getting out of the bed and trying to shave and shower and dress and get myself together. You know what it made me? Let me tell you what it did to me. Especially in Sister Rose's position, who has to help her husband get out of bed every morning, has to help bathe him and put his clothes on him and put him in a wheelchair, put him in the van, bring him to church. And some of you go through the same things. Let me tell you this. I think one of the reasons God allowed me to go through that is because I could be a partaker in some of your sufferings. I know a little bit about what that's about. I think I've had some of the shares of difficulties in the ministry so that I can be a partaker in your sufferings. The second lesson that God was teaching Elijah was this, that even in the wilderness, God could take care of him. God could provide for him. See, Elijah didn't know sitting down at the brook, but God did because he knows the full story. Elijah didn't know that in a very short while, he was going to pass through the waters of his own personal depression as well. God knew that Elijah would soon be victorious on the top of Mount Carmel. But within a few minutes of that victory, he also knew that Elijah would be running scared. Elijah didn't know it. See, God's doing something in his life. Get at the brook. The brook is going to give you water. The brook is going to provide that nutrition that you need. The ravens are going to come to the brook and give you the food. God knows that in just a few short moments, that Elijah's going to be running from the wicked queen Jezebel, and that he would be running. Elijah would be running into the wilderness. He's now saying, God, why are you sending me into the wilderness? Why do I have to go in the wilderness by the brook? Why do I have to depend on these ravens? God, can't you send me in a more comfortable place? But see, God knows that in just a very short time, Elijah's not going to be crying about the wilderness. He's going to be running to the wilderness. God sees all of that. He would find a place, Elijah, under a juniper tree, and he would find himself asking God in his deepest depression, God, just take my life. God knew that soon he was going to be overwhelmed with the sense of failure, and so God sent Elijah into the wilderness. He had to be taught in the wilderness about things to come, that God would take care of him. God wanted to teach Elijah that even in the wilderness, under the darkest of days, I will never leave you, son. I will never forsake you. And please listen to this. When you think about that, God fully knows When you don't know what's going on in your life, and you feel everything is turned upside down, listen, God fully knows what's coming in our future. When he sent Elijah to the brook, he knew what that boy was soon going to face. And so it was necessary that he go into the wilderness. It was necessary that he sit by the brook. It was necessary that God would sustain him with the water. It was necessary that God would send the ravens to feed him. But it didn't stop there. God knew what his future would be, and God knows what we're going to face, and God knows what it's going to take to get us through our difficulties. When our life turns upside down and life begins to fall like dominoes, God knows exactly what we're going to face. He knows what we're going to face next week. God knows what we're going to face next month. God knows what we're going to face next year. And God, being a faithful Heavenly Father, will begin to prepare us now for what's soon going to come upon us. God oftentimes, when we don't understand what's going on, he begins to plant in us the necessary things. Remember all this stuff? David said, you gave me the promise. Why don't you just fulfill it? Why all the stuff? Listen, because God knows what's going to happen in our future. There's some necessary stuff that we have to go through. And while he's preparing us for what's coming around the bend, sometimes we sit curled up, and when we begin to weep and to cry, and we say, God, why is all this mental stuff necessary? What's going on? And again, sometimes God may tell us, and sometimes he may not. Here's what else happened to Elijah. He's sitting at the brook. He's being fed by the ravens, but then all of a sudden, God turns the spigot off of the brook. And the brook dries up. Now Elijah, he said, you told me to get over here. I did exactly what you said. I left town. I came out here to this wilderness. And I'm sitting. I'm doing what you said, God. Everything you said, I've done. Now, what you going to do? The brook is completely dry. He said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. He said, I want you to get yourself up. He said, I got a poor widow down the road here. I want you to get yourself up and go to this poor widow's house. And I'm sure he began to question God. God, why would you send me here? And then, Lord, this makes absolutely no sense to me at all. You want me to get up and you want me to continue on a little farther in the problem. You want me to go to a poor widow's house? Why can't you send me to a rich widow's house? Why you got to do it like this, God? Why is God going to send Elijah to a poor widow? By her own testimony, said this. All I have is a few sticks. I've got a little bit of flour. I got a little bit of oil. I'm going to make enough food for me and my son for one last meal, and then we're going to lay down and die. So God sends Elijah to this particular home, and he said, I'm going to arrange it. Son, listen now. Did I not feed you at the brook? I'm going to arrange it that this poor widow woman is going to feed you and take care of you, and she's going to meet your need. You see, what God was teaching Elijah was this. Elijah, all I need is a little bit of faith. He was teaching Elijah what he could do with a little bit. You see, God was preparing Elijah, what was the purpose of all this stuff? God was preparing Elijah to teach and to train a next generation of people, to lead them and to lead them with faith and encouragement. And I believe this is what God is doing with us today. God is teaching us the same lesson. He is teaching us this. Hey, when your life is falling apart, you don't know what's going on, things are turned upside down, all this middle stuff, we moan and groan and gripe and complain about. Listen, God is teaching us this. I can take, he is saying, listen, just be still. Listen to me. He said, I can take nothing I can take a terrible situation. I can take things that you don't understand. I can take things that you cannot even explain. And I can make something miraculous take place with just a little bit of your faith. Just a little bit. You see, God doesn't need our talents. He doesn't need our abilities. He doesn't need our resources. All God needs, listen, He has all what He needs. He's just looking for someone to say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me, fill me. God, take my life and use it for your glory." Isaiah 55, verse 12 and 13. Look at this. "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth." Look at that. "The mountains and the hills shall bring forth before you into singing, and all of the trees of the field." Look at this. "All of the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Keep this in mind. This passage of Scripture follows the passage that says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." In these verses, God is saying this, that everything in your life that has caused you pain, everything in your life that has caused you disappointment, uncomfortableness, everything that has caused you to doubt, God is saying this in this passage, "Be assured, I will never leave you. I'm going to bring you out with great power and great victory. You're going to know me in such an intimate way. When you come through the fire, when you come through the storm, when your dominoes start stacking back up, it's going to seem as if nature, all nature itself, begins to applaud. You've come through the fire again." God says, "I'm not going to take you and leave you." He said, "I'm going to take your pain. I'm going to take your doubts. I'm going to take your confusion." And it's what he says. He said, "And I'm going to glorify my name through it all." I want to read one last passage for you, actually two. Psalms 22, go back to our original text. And I want you to see this in verse 21. And I want our musicians to come forward. In Psalms chapter 22, I want you to see this in verse 21. David says this in the same chapter, "Save me from the lion's mouth." Remember David's stories, his encounters with the lions. And then he said this, "For thou hast heard me. From the horns of the unicorn." Let me say this about the unicorn. You see this in the Bible. It's not a mythical animal. This unicorn thing back in David's day was an animal smaller than an elephant. It was almost like a rhinoceros, the one-horned rhinoceros. It was like a wild bull. The uni, it means one, the one-horned animal. But it was like a wild bull type of a thing. David not only had encounters with lions and bears, but he had encounters with the unicorn. Multiple encounters with the unicorn, which was a wild type of bull with one horn. That animal doesn't exist today, but that's what he was talking about. He said, "Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns." Multiple encounters. He said, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation while I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye that's the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. And all the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him." Now, look at this carefully, this last line. "But when he cried," David said, "as bad as it was, as much as I have felt abandoned, as much as I have not understood, as much as I cannot explain," David said, "yet in my pain, when I cried, he heard." Notice those last two words, "he heard." Friend, listen, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, he heard you. When you asked him, when you cried out, "Lord, use my life for your glory," he heard you. When you said, "Lord, prepare me to be a vessel in your hands," he heard you. When you said, "Lord, teach me what I need to know to be a better Christian," he heard you. Here's the thing. One of the reasons why we get in trouble with God so many times is when we pray We have a tendency to pre-formulate what we think the outcome should be. We have a tendency, for example, a person comes to the altar and he begins to pray, Lord, take my life and use it as a living sacrifice. Make my life an earthen vessel. Drain me, fill me with your goodness and power and your spirit. Lord, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. And so, Lord, I'm going to just love you and serve you the rest of my days. And a person can pray a prayer like that and sincerely mean it. But while they're praying that, they can get up and go back to their seats and say, now I'm on the gravy train with God. Now there's going to be crowns coming my way. Now there's going to be wonderful blessings coming my way. Now there are going to be demons fleeing. Now there are going to be victories won. Now there are going to be just wonderful things happening in my life because I'm a Christian and I've laid it all on the altar. I've surrendered everything to God. And then we come into a rude awakening where all of that expectation's not happening and the dominoes are not standing up. They're all falling down. Most of the time we're quick to blame when that happens. We're quick to blame God. But I'm doing everything you said. Or we blame our struggles on the devil. Or we say, God, you're not being fair. I went to the brook. I went to the widow's house. I did all of this stuff. But listen carefully. When you're doing all that stuff and you don't understand what's going on, in all actuality, God is preparing us for the harder things that's coming.
You listen to Pastor Tony Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.